Last Sunday, we had a little different ceremony. But we'll get back to this today. I just nearly want to take the time to exegete this very slowly. Not too slow, you'll go to sleep. But slow enough to get it, what is being said here in Scripture. Revelation 21, verses 5 and 6, and he, underline the word he, and write God the Father. And he, God the Father, who sits on the throne, underline the word the. Notice it's not a, it is the. It is the throne of the living God. He sits on the throne, reaffirming his eternal character. And he says with a voice of assurance, behold, underline that word behold. Behold, the words that follow belong to the entire world of the blessed. The blessed are those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you have, and you are here this morning, then listen to what is about to follow. And he, God the Father, who sits on the throne, how sovereign it is. It is a throne, again, of his eternal character. It is a throne that says to us as God's children who know the Word of God that the one who sits on the throne is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. And he says, behold, because he wants to get our attention. He is saying, listen closely. The words that follow belong to the entire world of the blessed and how blessed we are to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Behold, I, God, I am making. Underline that phrase, if you will, I am making. It draws attention to the power of Almighty God. He says, I am making all things new. Underline that phrase, all things new. It is a reference to God's future work of a new earth and a new heaven that is coming. God has assured us of that. Look at that phrase one more time. I am making all things new. I just want you to listen very closely. Number one, when God said, I am making all things new, what is he saying? There will be a day there are no more terminal diseases. John Trent in the hospital. His lovely wife beside him. His family. It's where Chad is, rightfully so. They'll be glad with so many no more terminal diseases. No more hospitals, no more wheelchairs, no more funerals, no more courts or prisons, no more breakdowns, no more heart attacks, no more strokes, no more Alzheimer's or debilitating illnesses, no more therapists, medications, or surgery. No famine, no plagues, or devastating disasters. For God, who is eternal, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient, God is making all things new. God can be trusted to accomplish his promises. Back to the printout. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I, and I know he can do what he sets out to do and says he will do because he is the God that has given us his word, the Bible. I am making all things new. Also, he, God said, write. For these words, underline these words, it means the information given, are faithful and true. Faithful and true reminds me of the word reliable. Everything about God is reliable. You see, these words are divine realities that will, in God's time, enter the experiences of human life. right. For these words are faithful and true, so reliable, they are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. God's promises are secure. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let's repeat that as I give you a little more here. He is the beginning. All things have come from him. He is the beginning and the end. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe, of all that exists. He says, I am eternal, therefore I am timeless. I am the beginning of everything and the conclusion to everything. I know the past and I know the present and I know the future. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I, God, will give. Underline the two words, will give. That is a grace gift. A grace gift that can only come from Him. Remember, it's grace before gift. And grace means it is something that comes by the grace of Almighty God. It comes by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give. What a promise. Water from the fountain. Underline the word fountain. It means God is the abundant. God is the bountiful giver of forgiveness. He is also the giver in that way of eternal life that is found only in Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of the water of life, and the water of life is eternal life, and it comes without cost. Question. What will you experience in the new creation that you will never experience in the old creation? We touched on the very first thing the other Sunday. I'll go back to it as we begin. It is complete satisfaction. How many of you know what complete satisfaction is? Don't raise your hand. I doubt if anybody does. Have you ever been completely satisfied? Only God can bring that. Is that correct? So what will you experience in the new creation that you will never experience in the old creation? It is complete satisfaction forever and ever and ever throughout all of eternity. That is hard to imagine. Then there is resources. Christ is going to provide, God is going to provide resources that this world could never provide. And then there's going to be responsibility. Luke chapter 19, Jesus says, if we're faithful in our responsibilities here on earth, we'll be given cities to rule over in the ages to come eternally. And then there is that last experience. It's called relationships. You see, we're going to undergo a glorious transformation. And the old boy that bugged you so much, really knew how to dig into you, Harold Willis. That's all going to be gone. God bless your heart. What are you going to do throughout all of eternity? I bet it'll all work out. We will have relationships in eternity like we've never known before. Verse 7. He who overcomes, underline that word, overcomes. This is perseverance in a time of terrible persecution. It is exercised faith. It is the Christian that is living by divine persuasion and is living by the word of the living God and has placed all his or her faith and trust and confidence in the living God. He who overcomes the world by adhering faithfully to Christ, underline the word Christ. The word Christ, you should know by now, means the anointed one. You should know by now he was anointed in eternity past by the Holy Trinity. It is by divine decree that that is set and that is non-negotiable. He is also known as Jesus. Jesus, the internal, incarnate Word of the living God. All right. And then he's known as Lord, and that means Master. And Savior, meaning he is the only begotten Son of God. Remember that word begotten means the only one of his kind. So the Bible is very clear telling us there is only one Jesus Christ. There is not another Jesus, therefore there is not another Savior. It is only Jesus Christ who paid your sin debt in full. Amen for that. He who overcomes the world by adhering faithfully to Christ Jesus as Lord, living under the Lordship of Christ and Savior, will inherit. Underline that word, inherit. Let me try to explain it this way, what you're about to inherit. He says we'll inherit these things. Have you ever gone to a Christmas lighting? Big, huge tree. You've seen it on Hallmark. You've seen it on the movies. And they are lighted so well. And at the right time, everybody gathers around that huge tree that many have spent so much time putting lights on it. And they say, start with three and we'll give a countdown. And when we get to one, somebody's going to flip the switch and all the lights come on. That's what it's going to be like. Listen, the glories of the New Jerusalem are about to go on display. As pretty as that Christmas tree is, imagine when it is time for the New Jerusalem to be lit up by the glory and the brilliance and the radiance of Almighty God. The Christmas tree can't hold a candle to what is about to be put on display and the radiance and the brilliance of Almighty God that is going to light up the New Jerusalem. It is going to be awesome. Try to see that in your mind's eye if you can. Okay, here we go. Will every saved person live in the new creation? The answer is yes. Number two, will the Christian who was fully committed inherit an even greater reward? The answer is yes. God will dwell with him at an increased level of what is intimacy. What is intimacy? It's closeness. How close do you think you and God can get in eternity? Well, that'll be determined how you live that Christian life here on earth in the physical body. Let's look at verse 8. But as for the cowards, underline the word cowards, if you will. Those who deny the faith, you're a coward. When faced with persecution and opposition, so what's the point here? You must decide to be a conqueror or be a coward. That's the decision that you've got to make, a conqueror or a coward, a conqueror in Jesus Christ. But as for the cowards and unbelieving, the unfaithful and untrustworthy and abominable, who are devoid of character and personal integrity and practice or tolerate immorality, and murderers and sorcerers with intoxicating drugs, and idolaters and occultists who practice and teach false religions, and all the liars who knowingly deceive and twist truth. Their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Number one, those who persist in sin and rebellion against God will spend how long? Eternity. Eternity. It has no end. Where? In the lake of fire and sulfur. It is real. Jesus talked about it. It is literal. Is this the second death? The Bible says yes. Now, unbelievers with their unglorified bodies. I hope that will answer some of your questions that you've been asking about an unbeliever that will die and pass away. So unbelievers with their unglorified bodies and unredeemed souls will enter a place where every problem from this life will be amplified without any hope of improvement. They will become locked at varying levels in the consequences of their sinfulness. Now turn, if you will, to page 2. Notice verses 9 through 11. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven final plagues, remember these are coming from the living God, came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, that is the body of Christ. And if you're a believer, you'll be a part of that bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a vast and lofty mountain and showed me the holy, that is the sanctified city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. I want you to underline that phrase, coming down out of heaven, and write this if you will, and it will hover over the new earth. Not settle on it, but it will hover over the new earth. So you have the sanctified city of Jerusalem. It is coming down out of heaven from God, having God's glory. Underline God's glory. And just meditate on that for just a moment. And again, with your mind's eye, try to envision nothing but the glory and the radiance and the brilliance of Almighty God. Having God's glory, and I'm going to add this, and nothing else. No sun, no moon. Only the brilliance and brightness of the glory of God is going to fill the place. The brilliance of it resembled a rare and very precious jewel like jasper, shining as clear as crystal. Number one, will believers in Christ dwell across the entire new creation? The answer is yes. Will the new earth's capital be arrayed with God's glory? The answer is yes, and how beautiful it's going to be. Verses 12 through 14, it had a massive and high wall with 12 large gates, and at the gates were stationed 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were written. I guess there's no lost tribe here. On the east side, there were three gates. On the north, three gates. And on the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. And on the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And on them, the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, that is Christ. So the city's massive high wall signifies the identity of its inhabitants. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel's sons are inscribed on the gates, signifying that believers from Old Testament Israel will be present within. Second, the city wall is pictured with 12 foundations, and the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are written on the foundations. This signifies the presence of believers from the church, which was established in the New Testament era. Old and New Covenant followers of the Lord will dwell together in the new creation. Verses 15 through 17. The one who was speaking with me had a gold measuring rod. Would you underline that phrase, a gold measuring rod? Why is it gold? Why does he need a measuring rod? Well, it conveys the absolute holiness and the perfection of what is being measured. So the one who was speaking with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. Underline that phrase, if you will, to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And here's a little note. Measurements that could not be discerned from direct vision. We have the gold measuring rod. It is going to be measured in a very careful, absolute way. Measurements that could not be discerned by direct vision. The city is laid out as a square, its length being the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod. 12,000 stadia, about 1,400 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. He measured its wall also, 144 cubits, about 200 feet. According to man's measurements, which are also angelic measurements, this city, be sure you get this, this is unbelievable. This city, the New Jerusalem, will be close to 3 billion square miles in size. Almost 3 billion square miles in size. A stadia is approximately 600 feet, which means each dimension of the city is approximately 1,400 miles. About half the distance from New York to Los Angeles. The height, the most mind-blowing aspect of these dimensions is the height. It is a multi-storied city that extends up, and this, now listen to this, and this is just the capital of God's new creation. Just the capital. I don't know about you, but I could probably spend a little time when I make it up there just looking at this right here. The wall encasing this city will be 144 cubits, about 72 yards thick. Page 3. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. Verses 18 through 21. I'm not going to read all these stones here, but I did ask the Lord, why these particular stones? Why not other stones? Well, here's the answer I got, Terry. What's going to light up that city? The glory of God, His radiance, His brilliance, His glory. I'll put it this way, His light. How bright is God's glory? How brilliant is it? How radiant is it? What is the light like of the glory of Almighty God? And He's got stones here, precious stones, and you know what? They're transparent. Why are they transparent? So all of this glory of God can shine through and give the beauty to the city of the New Jerusalem that it deserves. Has not God thought of everything? That's why He said, no moon, no sun, only the radiance and the glory of Almighty God. That'll knock your holy eyes out and your holy socks off and your holy underwear, wherever it'll fly, I don't know. But brother, everything's going to be rolling about that time right there. And you got something else. You ever seen transparent gold down here? But it'll be in the new creation. Transparent gold. The streets of Jerusalem. The new city. Wow. And you'll walk them. These are the streets of gold in our eternal home. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. I can't even envision that. Each separate gate was of one single pearl. And the street, the Broadway, and how broad is it going to be? Of the city was pure gold, like transparent crystal. Verse 22, I saw no temple in it. So did you ask why there wasn't a temple in it? We don't need a presentation anymore. You got the real thing. You've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And you have been given eternal life. And these are the things that you are already inheriting in Jesus Christ. The new Jerusalem is about to be on display, and this is part of your inheritance, Jesus says. It's secure. It's already promised. What an inheritance. And that's just part of it. I want to see those big pearls. Man, what a clam that came out of. Back to the printout. I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty, the omnipotent, the ruler of all, and the Lamb are its temple. There will be a temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation and during the millennium. But there will be no temple in the New Jerusalem because a representation of God's presence will no longer be necessary. You got the real deal. We will have His direct presence. Intimacy. You can go back to page 1. Intimacy. If you lived under the lordship of Christ, and were faithful unto Him, you will be closer than other believers. There will be no jealousy. They'll be glad for you. They'll probably clap for you. There goes one that gave it for Jesus. Decided to live by the Lordship of Christ. Look how close they are. And I would imagine, but there's no jealousy, some would say, yeah, I wish I were that close. Well, why don't you start today? Start today. Get to working on it. Back to the printout. Verses 23 and 26. And the city has no need of the sun, nor of the moon to give light to it. For the glory, the splendor, the radiance of God has illumined it. And the Lamb is the lamp and light. The nations, the redeemed people from the earth, will walk by its light. How many square miles? 3 billion lighted. No darkness, no dark corners, no dark streets. The gold, what? The streets of gold are transparent. The glory of God fills every crack. Wow. God has illumined it. And the Lamb is the light and light. The nations, the redeemed people from the earth will walk by its light. And the kings of the earth will bring into it their glory. By day, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed in fear of evil. And they will bring the glory, the splendor, the majesty, and the honor of the nations into it. Number one, what will there be, or what will there be no need of the what? Of in the city. What will be no need of in the city? And I've told you it is the sun nor moon. Our sun is 93 million miles away. Yet its power is sufficient to illumine the earth. God's presence, though, can replace the sun with ease, because the Lord possesses an even greater degree of power and radiance, that it will never be night. There suggests believers' glorified bodies will never get tired and need to sleep. Will we ever get bored? No. On the new earth, there will be nations and kings functioning in a national context. We'll talk about that as we close next Sunday. And bringing their glory and honor into the city, everyone will come to the new Jerusalem as a highlight of their lives on the new earth, and why not, given its splendor. There's one little point I want to make. I hope you'll write it down. And here's the point. God's heart is relational to the core. God's heart is relational to the core. He wants people who will love and worship Him in response to His perfect love. And I'll say to end, God really wants to live among His people. Did you get it? Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we look at loved ones that are lying on the bed in a hospital or maybe at home, this is what we need to hear. That we will leave that body of sickness and pain. There's a lot of hurt in some of them. And they're saying, Lord, please take me now. And we that are behind and have so much love for them, we don't understand that. We say, we want to keep you here as long as we can. Why do I want to keep someone here, my loved one, that is hurting so much, when he can be released from that body and walk into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly healed? I were to ask for hands to come up this morning, I tell you what, your heads are bowed, I'm watching. Just lift your hand and say, Terry, I need to be prayed for. I need praying for. Lift your hand. Thank you so much. Father, I thank you for the privilege again that you give us to pray. And for these that recognize we all have needs in our lives. We all need prayer. We need the understanding of Jesus Christ, who is God. Himself is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present and all-sufficient, who knows the realities that are in our life. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for John Trent. I pray for your blessed will to be done, and I know that it will. I know when you're ready for him, he's ready for you. Be with Pam, loving wife, Chad, Molly, kids. Give them strength and give them peace that passes all human understanding. For it is hard to let go of a loved one. Then we pray for other situations, issues, dear Heavenly Father, that need the grace of God to bring healing, to bring people back together. That can happen. Satan is not all-powerful. God is. And so we pray for that all-powerful God to act, to bring about his blessed will, to bring about the word of the living God. That God's will be done, God will be praised, and he will truly be glorified. We ask this in so many different ways. In Jesus' name we pray.